Man, it is good to see you guys. What an awesome opportunity we have to come together in fellowship, to enjoy each other, to hear the word of God, and let God just kind of do. Thank you. He blessed me. Yeah. Man, just know this. If this is your first time here, man, we want to welcome you. Know that here, you're going to get judged. We all want to hang out with God. We all have our own problems. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't know, unless there's a perfect Christian in here. Could we? Yeah, if we start there, yeah, we and me will have to have coffee. Yeah, it'll be. Here's the thing, right? We have an issue that I think continues to show up in every generation, and it's extremely important that we go over this. How many of you feel like you need to change some things in your life? Okay, that's pretty much everybody, right? Some people, it's so bad they just did this. That's when you know it's really bad, right? And what we do is we go, Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. And we declare, I'm going to change. And there's been many times in my life I declared something expecting it to happen. And here's something that we need to understand. You and I can't change. You and I can't do it on our own. If that was the case, I'd be ripped. I'm not asking you to change. I'm asking you to be changed. There's a difference. I'm asking you to surrender and let God change you. It's not that we haven't tried our best, right? It's not that we haven't given it our best effort. And here's what happens. Follow me. When we want to get better, we start waking up, right? It usually happens after we mess something up, right? I should have been better. I got convicted. I'm going to change this about myself. And then we tell God, I'm going to change this about myself. And then we go through life and all of a sudden we fail. And what we do is say, it'll never work. God has never said in Scripture, you better do it perfectly right now. I'm going to shoot you with a lightning bolt. Because if that was the case, it'd be storming all the time. Lightning would be affluent in Lubbock, Texas. But here's what it is. See, God is a God of journey, not a God of right now. Even though it is right now, He tells us, enjoy right now. Don't focus on your past. You can't change it. Whether you regret it or whether you used to be something. And don't worry about the future because there's nothing you can do to necessarily make yourself better in the future. All you can do is surrender and let God do His thing. We say that here all the time. Let God do His thing. And what's funny is many people come to me and they say, Pastor, what's God going to do? I don't know. I just know He does things. And here's how I know. I know because I've seen lives change. My life has changed. I'm not the same man that I used to be. And I'm not going to be the same man if I keep going. But it has to be a discipline. And man, we don't like that word. How many of you have heard that word before? Discipline. Well, if you'd been disciplined, you'd act right. How many of you here are Gen Xers? Yeah, you remember what it was like growing up as a kid? Kids, listen to this. If it was summer and it was a weeknight, all the kids on the block were outside playing tag. And it didn't matter which parent found you acting up on the block. I not only feared my parents' spankings, I feared my neighbors. Because they would beat on me, take me to my house, and then guess what would happen? I get it again. Right? That's how things used to be, and it was this changed life as we went. And everybody was involved of helping each other. I remember a time, man, a neighbor, if one of our neighbors was struggling, the whole block came together. And you hear that word, it takes a village to raise a child. Some of my neighbors just say it takes a village to beat a child. Especially that blonde-headed one. And I'm here to tell you, I deserved every whooping I got. I'm not running from it, man. There's some, my parents were in first service. I won't even tell them some things I've done because they probably try to whoop me again. But my life changed. I wish I could tell you that I went to a Christian concert or I went to a Christian conference and my life was changed. Right? We like that instant gratification. If I'll just pray for you, then your life will be changed. Everything will be better. Doesn't work that way. In fact, it's when the initial thing happens that God moves in our life, it begins a journey. And journeys, I know this is hard to tell Lubbockites this, journeys have peaks and valleys. Lubbockites are like, what are these peaks you speak of? Everything is flat. But we all have that. We all have this good times and bad times. But the question is, are you disciplined as you walk with God? I'm just going to shoot you straight. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Many of us are still going over the same stuff we've been going over our whole life. And it's not because God's not willing to change us. We just don't want to change. Worse than that, we don't want to surrender. And we wonder why we get in the same rut over and over again. There's a discipline. And here's the thing, and I don't know if you know this or not, but you need to hear this today. If you're breathing right now, you are valuable. So valuable that God created you for such a time as this. And I know people come to church for so many different reasons. Most of you come for the amazing drum playing. I get it. Who wouldn't? But some of you come for the donuts. Some of you come for the coffee. A lot of us come for the fellowship. And I'm here to tell you, even though those sound good, it's not why you should come here.
Amen.
You should come here to encounter God and to share God with one another, share life with each other. Do you know how important your story is? It's extremely important. Every one of us has a story, right? And what we do is we try to romanticize our stories. I don't know if I am a normie. I've never been addicted to anything. I've seen one joint when I was in eighth grade. That's my extent of drugs. I went to an AA meeting, and it was beautiful. Except the stories that I was hearing, I was like, oh my gosh, you did what? Holy cow, right? And it was this, I heard these stories of people that are trying to change and they're trying to change, but they haven't quite surrendered. And we call it a revolving door in the church, right? Pastors will sit there and tell us, well, you need to really have this discipleship class so you can teach those people how to be good Christians. Don't want you to be a good Christian. I want you to be a person of God. I don't care what society says about you. Care what God says about you. And that's where we need to start. It is a discipline for us to be a people. We need to be disciples. We need to make disciples. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, go and make disciples of all nations, showing them everything I've taught you. And then what did we make discipleship? We messed it all up. I was born and raised in Lubbock, Texas. Never left. I've been to many, many churches in the 80s. The discipleship class I found as I was growing up usually was a church giving a class to teach you how to be a part of them. Learn how to be this. We think this way. We believe this way. And if you don't believe this way, you got to go. Listen to me. I desire that you become exactly what God calls you to be. That way we'll never be defined. That way we will never have to talk about what type of people go to the refuge. Because I've heard rumors about what type of people go to the refuge. And they come to me and say, is this true? And I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, they're dangerous. But here's what I mean by that. Guys, hear me on this, please. The greatest example of a loving God is a life that has been changed. You can't deny it. I have been saying for the last 3 months, I'm going to start exercising and eating better. Been saying it for 3 months. And I start tomorrow. I'm going to try again. Right? But here's the deal. I can say anything about myself. Doesn't mean it's true. Not every Christian that says they are Christian are really a Christian. In fact, many of us in this room probably have injuries from someone who said they were a Christian. But we like to do that in America. We like to declare who we are. I am this. I am this, man. If you truly know Jesus, you are nothing. It's all about Him, not about me. But think about this. Some of you in this room, man, and I can point you out. You're extremely dangerous. And here's why. Yes, there's a time you're a menace to society. But when your life changes, when you surrender to God, no one can doubt that. No one can say, it's just lucky. In fact, many people say, I don't believe that person is changed. If you're truly changed, that's cool. You can think about me all you want. But the truth is, I'm not the same person. See, there's a guy named Saul. He was a very religious Jew. He was persecuting Christians, and he was putting them in jail and even killing them. And he's on his way to go arrest some other Christians. And you might have heard the story, and he hears a voice that says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Because he lost his eyesight. All he could do is hear a voice. And the voice said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And his life was changed. Right? Some of us wish Jesus would do that now. Send us a text message right before you do something stupid. Blit. Oh, man. Who is it? It's Christ. Always in my business. Jesus tells him, man, I'm going to change your life. And from that moment, he was never Saul again. And what I would like to tell you is that his life became so good that, man, every camel he had was powerful and he had plenty of food. No, his life was hard. Why? Because he used to say this, but now he's changed and he's become something different. So I want to read a scripture about this. And what's happening is Paul is discipling a young man named Timothy. And I'm interested in this because of what he does to disciple Timothy is something totally different than what I experienced growing up. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Paul says to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, listen to this, is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Imagine Timothy reading this letter. The first thing I want you to understand is look at what Paul says to him. You, Timothy, however, know everything I've been through. You've seen it. Right now in our day and time, we are more connected than ever before. Yet we have more loneliness than ever before. Because there's a need for us to be a part of one another. There's a need for fellowship, right? And notice what Paul is saying to Timothy. You know what's gone on in my life. Why? Because he shared his life with them. He walked with them. Some of us, man, you sit there and you go, man, I want to be used by God. What can I do? Share your life with someone. All of it. What I mean by that is all your story, who you are. Man, to tell of your scars and your failures so people can see how God has moved in your life. What we have created in America is Christians to talk about that they were never bad before. No, I'm good. I'm spiritual and holy. Man, didn't you get locked up? No. I rebuke that. In the name of Jesus, I was never locked up. Yeah, dude, but you're wearing an orange jumpsuit. Right? Man, I used to mess up. Guys, I used to be the worst Christian because I was a zealot for God and I was absolutely judging people in the name of Jesus. In fact, many of you in this room, I wouldn't have talked to you back then because I was taught you can't be around those people because you might get some on you. Right? Don't be around the druggies because you're going to be a druggie. I shake somebody's hand. Oh, let's go do some crack. Or hanging around with a robber and I hold up a 7-Eleven. Right? But to be able to sit there and go, this is who I used to be. I'll never forget we had a coach in elementary I was going to school for. And he was huge. And his testimony was, God changed my life. And there was a rumor going around that he had killed a man. And of course, us as kids went up to him and said, hey, did you really kill somebody? And he sat down and talked to us. Said, yes, I was a fool. I did it out of anger. And he was real with us, and I'll never forget it. It helped start changing my life. Not that I've killed anybody. But man, what are we afraid of? What are you afraid of? If Christ has set you free and you are free indeed, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of being disciplined? Man, discipline's a beautiful thing. Have you ever had one of those moments when God absolutely rebuked you? You may not know you have, but I bet you have, and I'm going to give you an example. If you have ever driven in Lubbock, Texas, USA, somebody has cut you off, and you gave them a verbal abusing with hand gestures, and as you're driving, you're like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm better than that. You see, that's why God rebukes. God doesn't rebuke to condemn. In fact, Romans chapter 8 says, those who are in Christ, there's no more condemnation. He can call you on your stuff, and why he calls you on your stuff, he's going to change you. Man, I'm not afraid for my foolishness. Because in my weakness, he's made strong. Do you know that God has called you to change the world? And we sit there and go, well, how? How am I going to change the world? Oh, I know. We're going to fight the government. That's not how you change the world. And I love Texas. I mean, I love Texas. The answer's not seceding. We'll just recreate a problem. But for me, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to surrender. Because I've lived my life as a religious zealot, and I was a liar. And I was wrong. Let's keep reading. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge us. No. We go to all these different places he'd love on people. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who longed for his appearance. There's going to be a lot of people, guys, that say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. In fact, if you're born in Texas, it's a part of your culture. You can go up to anybody and go, what church do you go to? And they don't get offended. Go to New York and do that. Because it's personal. It's not a group thing. It's real deal. And it has to be a real deal to us. We cannot be just a people that absolutely observe the law. We need to be a people that know who Jesus is. Pastor Travis, how do I know who Jesus is? Read the word. But read the whole word, right? Start in the Gospels, and after you get a good grasp on all the Gospels, then start, just let God do His thing. I'm telling you, the Word is real. It says that every Scripture is God-breathed. Hear me on this. But not your interpretation. Scripture's God-breathed, but not every interpretation. So let me just say this, and I don't mean to step on toes, or maybe I do. Do not get your spiritual feeding, your Scripture from TikTok. Don't do it. Because you only get the ones you want, right? Right? You see somebody post, you're like, maybe, and I take that one right there. You never see the one that says, repent and throw ashes on yourself. Be in loathing for God. You don't get to see those. Why? Because it's all about, let me take out of the Bible what feels good and make it mine, right? And then I've had this conversation with many people. I'll sit there and I'll tell them, dude, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And they're like, no, no, no. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, but it's not about what you want, right? It's not like I'm going to sit there and go, you know what? I'm going to go rob a bank. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, help me not to get caught in your name as I tithe the bounty. No. You can do all things through Christ, like forgive someone you don't want to forgive. Doing the next right thing, being disciplined as He changes your life. We know we're going to have sorrows in this world. Right, Dawn? We know we're going to have hard times, but we're not the same person, are we, Dawn? No, we're not. In fact, those weapons that the enemy was using to kill us, God has taken it and said, no, I'm going to make you strong. And I'm going to change your life so that nobody can deny who I am. You are important. Your story is valuable. But it's not about you. It's about Him. Listen to me. The reason why Paul wrote that last part, I'm already being poured out. I've finished the race. I've run the race. I have kept the faith. Is because he's with his people and he's going back to Jerusalem and he knows they're going to kill him. In fact, theologians can show, and especially in the book of Hebrews, you can see that they don't want Paul to go. Don't, because they're going to kill you or something's going to happen. And Paul's like, look, I've already run the race. It's your time. I'm good. I know where I'm going. And it's not about me, it's him. That's why you're a dangerous people, guys. Not because you're violent, though some of you have been. Not because you're a liar, though some of us have been. But because you can be a life changed. And the world can't stand somebody who's been changed. Amen. The world can't stand somebody who doesn't play by the way the world should work, but plays by the way God calls them to be played. And when we do this, you will experience something that I can't explain. So I want to say this to you. I want you to read the Bible. But how many of you in this room cannot stand reading? You can raise it up. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. I can't stand reading. I'm not a good reader. Man, when I was a youth pastor, I was reading a book to my youth, and I said, Chaos. And one of my eighth graders went, Pastor, I think that's chaos. You need to quit laughing at me like that. I'm not a good reader, right? And I sit there and I go, and I get frustrated when I'd read the Bible. I try to read the Bible and I'm like, man, this doesn't make sense. And so something happened in my 20s when I actually dove in and I started seeing myself in it. Not in a good way, not like, oh, yes, I'm like Samson. No, no, you're not. Don't fight a bear, dude. But when Jesus would rebuke the Pharisees, I would realize, I'm a Pharisee. I would see myself in it. And then something that has been so beautiful for me, and I'd encourage you to do this too. Is our app and almost any Bible app that you get downloaded for free will read it to you. And it is awesome. But you got to discipline yourself to do that. Come here on Wednesday nights at 7 and let us dive into the Word together. We all talk about it, and it's not we're trying to up, you know, do attendance or anything like that. And my thing is, we need to be changed, and the only way it can be changed is what that scripture focus said. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guys, the Word is not a book, it's a person. His name's Jesus. And I want to know Him, not a version of Him that somebody says. If you're taking my word, I mean, understand, I'm imperfect. Imperfect. In fact, there's times I sit there and I look at what I wrote down in my notes in my Bible, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, and I'm like, man, I'm dumb. Because I'm here to tell you, the Bible becomes alive. And you read something, and then you come back to it 3 years later, and because your life has changed, it becomes something totally different. Man, we need to be a people who know the Word. And I'm telling you, if you do that, hang on. Because you're going to enjoy peace in the midst of turmoil. You're going to find strength in the midst of weakness. You're going to find purpose when you feel like you have no value. Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, you are not a church. You are a people. And church does not need to happen here. It needs to happen here. And while we're out there, man, be the person of peace at your work when everybody else is absolutely crazy. Be the encourager when everybody else is critical. Be the good worker when everybody doesn't want to work, right? And you're going to get made fun of for doing it. But I'm telling you, if you do it, if you work unto God and not unto man, you're going to be fine. Man, I remember back, and I want to close with this. When the refuge first started, many people had said, well, what are you going to call this church? And I just said, the refuge. Well, you mean the refuge church? No. Refuge church of the fourth church on the left, Assembly of God Nazarenites? No, just a refuge. Why? Because it's His refuge. Man, you can come in here absolutely tore apart. You will find love. Man, you can come here, and I just want to say this. It's not the preaching that does it. It's you. I was at a conference recently, and a pastor came up to me who's from Lubbock, and he's a retired pastor. And he came up to me, and he said, hey, man, can I talk to you? And I was like, absolutely. And he said, we love the refuge. And him and his wife will come whenever they get an opportunity because they assign him to be an interim pastor at other churches. But he says, any chance we get, we come in. And he said, your people are so authentic. And they are there because they want to know the Lord. And we feel it every time we come in. And my point was like, you mean the preaching? You like the preaching? He's like, no, not really. And I'm like, drums. You love the drummer, right? He's like, no, it's too loud, you know. But your people, right? Because you have a story. And you don't have to say anything. People can see you and go, wow. They're here for a real reason. And they're experiencing God and their life is changing. That's what makes you dangerous. The world's going to try to break you. How have you reacted before when the world tried to break you? Did you just take or did you fight back? Let's fight back, but do it in the right way. Right? Some of you in this room are obnoxious and stubborn and bullheaded. Be that way for Christ. Right? Man, there's nothing more amazing than watching somebody absolutely be the hands and feet of Jesus that nobody would expect. I'll give you an example. Just because I say I'm something doesn't mean I'm something, right? I know a lot of bikers, real bikers, not motorcycle enthusiasts, not somebody who just got a motorcycle and bought a bunch of brand new leathers and declared, I'm a biker. One of the greatest phrases I ever heard one of my biker friends say is they said, everybody wants to be a biker until it's time to do some biker crap. And I'm not trying to romanticize a biker, but I will take that phrase and make it ours by saying, everybody wants to be a Christian until it's time to do some Christian things, which is be humble, long-suffering, full of grace, hearing rebuke, standing in the gap for someone who doesn't even deserve it. Why? Why should you love them? Because he loves me. And my life has been changed as I surrender and I discipline myself so that he can be alive in me. Pastor Allen, go ahead and come on up. This world needs you. Doesn't need you to pretend to be a Christian. It needs you to be real. And if you fall down, man, I promise you, we're not going to laugh at you. We're not going to judge you. But we are going to pick you up because we're going to go again. Amen. That's who we are. May it ever be said of refugees, man, they weren't perfect. They're even kind of crazy sometimes. But they never quit. They never quit.
Invite you all to join us. Who do we pray to? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father God, we do love you. We thank you, God, that your love for us is great, that you so love the world, God, that you gave us Jesus. Master, we thank you that your desire is for us, that your heart is bent to us, and that your mind is made up, and the news is good. So today, God, would you truly shape us in the image of your Son? God, would you make us in such a way that you will be glorified? Master, let that be our greatest desire. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in this place and amongst this people. God, that would be so today. So would you let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, the peace of your Holy Spirit be established on each of us and all of us today and forevermore. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.